6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Lightforce. Joined virtually, as always, by Anna Forsyth at A4Scythe03. You know her as the smarter voice of the two hosts on this show. How you doing there, Anna?
I'm good. I only sound smarter because I have a British accent, and far too many people over history have fallen for that trick.
Wait, sorry. Have you been pulling the wool over my eyes the entire time?
Oh, yeah, big time. But, like, people have been doing it for centuries. That's how, like, colonialism happened. They were like, these people sound like they know what they're talking about, but we don't.
Oh, interesting. Well, fortunately for our listeners, we've arranged to have someone who does know what they're talking about. We sort of alluded to it on previous shows. If you happen to subscribe to our C4 Weekly newsletter, you already know. But we have Clarissa, fresh from her experience with the Botchford Project, joining us this episode. Welcome, Clarissa.
Thank you. Hi. I'm very grateful for you guys to invite me.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, as we sort of said before we clicked record, we were more excited that you said yes.
I am very honored, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, wow.
We do think it's an honor to join us, because then you get to call yourself friend of the show. Exactly. Now, sure, you can be on 132 different Vancouver Canucks podcasts, and you can be a friend of each show. But now you're the friend of the show of the longest running Canucks podcast, which actually gives you no street cred. It might take away a little.
Oh, no, it's definitely up there. It's up there. And I was talking to Anna. Obviously, my first podcast appearance was on the broadcast last week. This is my second. So I'm a huge newbie in this. And I am just so grateful to even just be invited.
Well, Chris is on the other end of the spectrum. He has been here forever. He's like a weird stain on the wall. So yeah, he'll guide you through.
I always give Anna, you know, plaudits of some sort. And as you can see, our relationship is where she goes the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's I think why this show works. But you know, glad we're number two. Broadcast is a phenomenal group of women, and as we've talked about, they're in my rotation. I have like seven podcasts in rotation, and Broadcast gets one of those seven. I'd like to think that actually carries weight, but it is what it is. So I'm going to tune into
them. They haven't put it on their like Twitter bio yet, but they probably will.
They should. Broadcast should. Chris listens to us. But no, this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about what the Vancouver Canucks have been up to over the past week. They're still playing playoff hockey. Well, sorry, let me rephrase that. They're still playing hockey while the playoffs are on. Who might have thunk that earlier on in the year? So we'll get into what's going on. We'll talk to Clarissa about her experience with the Botchford Project, as well as Canucks Twitter, because how can we not? And I don't know any F word. We always have something to rant about. So let's take ourselves just a minute break and dive into Rewind. I have to let a little secret be known. I can't remember the last time I watched a Vancouver Canucks game live.
Wow. What a hater. Not a real fan. Hashtag bitter bro.
A week ago. I am bitter, but I mean, I'm bitter for a lot of reasons, not just the Vancouver Canucks. I'm bitter that I'm not rich. Bitter that I'm going bald. I'm bitter that I'm a little overweight. I'm bitter that my daughter is more popular on social media than I am, and she's only four.
Well, she's maybe adorable. Yeah,
has a lot of stands. But I haven't watched hockey.
One,
I'm sorry.
One and a half games out of
which
four.
One and a half? Last or is that like one and a half out of four games or one game and a half?
One game and a half. So I watched half of Saturday or two-thirds of Saturday and then all of yesterday, which turned out to be kind of a good choice. What about you, Clarissa? Did you watch all the games or are you kind of tuning out?
So unfortunately, I have to watch them. I'm doing some social media work for Canucks Army. So I kind of have to kind of respond to the goals and such like that. So yes, I did watch them, but it was against my will.
Yeah. I think I used the phrase under duress the other day. The games I watched.
And that's the thing about sort of where the Vancouver Canucks sort of stand right now, especially with the way the season is. The games that they're playing in one instance mean nothing, right? I mean, Vancouver and Calgary are essentially going through the motions to wrap up a season, while other teams who made the playoffs are obviously competing for something significantly more. Then there's the other sort of group who looks at the Vancouver Canucks playing the Calgary Flames as mean something games, because if the Canucks win, they increase their standing and decrease the opportunity come draft a lottery day. And then there's the other group who sort of sits in between that think that the team still has a chance.
Of what?
I don't know. I don't want to knock people who want to be positive, but it's rough when I'm watching people like, oh, you know, there's all these great signs. It's just a bad year. And it's like, I think it's more than just a bad year. I think there are a lot of things that just aren't right. And I don't know how they get better for next year. Now, that's not knocking on, obviously, a Quinn Hughes, a Peterson, Brock Besser, Bohor, like the Demko, like young players, the core. I think there is a future here for Vancouver. It's just that future might legitimately be 2 years away, according to Jim Benning. So,
well, that's the part that Pettersson will literally be physically better next year. He should be playing come next season. You would see Hoglander going from strength to strength. I'm sure he will be better. Horvat still on a hot streak. Like, he seems to be improving. There'll be a few players that will improve, but the contract situation won't get any better. Like, the lack of cap maneuverability, that won't get better. That will get worse. So, like swings and roundabouts, right?
True. I don't disagree with any of that. But, I mean, looking at the last week, so the Vancouver Canucks, when we were recording, last week when we recorded, game was over. They had won 3-1. And we thought, look at that. Vancouver's, you know, found a way to put something together. And then they had two games where they had no ability to put anything together. Like, they lost 5-0 to Winnipeg. They lost 4-1 to Calgary. And I want to say, did Montreal eliminate Vancouver on the Wednesday by getting that point? Or was it the Tuesday that they eliminated Vancouver?
It was during the Monday. It was during the Canucks game on Wednesday. Like, I think it was in the first period. Is that right?
Yes,
and then.
I remember that because they announced it and I tweeted about how I can't believe they're going to go into the locker room, learn that they were eliminated, and still come back to play a last period.
Honestly, if they didn't come out, I'd be like, fair enough. You know what?
Just exactly. Fine.
Call it a day.
But, you know, we saw them then. I play an Oilers team who I think was already shut themselves down waiting for the playoffs, beating them 4-1 on Saturday on a game that, I'll be honest, I didn't watch simply because I forgot it started at like 9 a.m. I know it wasn't 9 a.m., but
yeah, I think you
would. Same thing.
Yeah, it's like noon on a weekend. Like, that may as well be 9 a.m. Yeah, I think you weren't alone in that. It was a beautiful day in Vancouver. I think people were kind of checked out. I watched the two periods where Canucks were like losing and then tying the game, so I missed all the fun. But yeah, I mean, Oilers are like very much checked out. This is their first like legit playoff shot in years, so why would they care?
And then we have at least what one can suggest was an entertaining wild game on Sunday against the Flames, where, you know, we've seen the Vancouver Canucks and the Calgary Flames play each other in the past, end of a season, one team's making the playoffs, one's not. And the team that's making the playoffs takes that, the playoff team that's not, to the shed and smacks them around a little. This was a game, well, I know, but like it's that, like one team that completely doesn't care and the other team that wants to set the tone.
Yeah.
This was like both teams equally did not care and wanted to set the tone. It
was an entertaining game, and it was a fun time to be online on Canucks Twitter. Like, even when Canucks were down, it was kind of entertaining. I think we've all gone collectively mad, and that kind of just makes it more fun.
Yeah, so the thing about yesterday's game was that it was just, like, the most unexpected thing, right? We were down 4, I believe. And then we caught up with 4 goals. Like, what? Like, why did that have to happen? And then, of course, we lose. And obviously, I'm assuming you guys are about to bring this up, but the whole Alex Edler 100th goal thing was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What a poor old man. Like, he's just there trying to give him every opportunity to score. And of course, it's his touch that, like, takes it past Holtby for the overtime winner for Calgary. Like, of course.
It was just so unfair because I tweeted and I was like, oh, retweet this tweet if so that to manifest an Edler goal. And I didn't specify what goal.
So it's your fault.
So it's my fault.
It's not as bad as, I remember in Louis Erickson's first game as a Vancouver Canuck when he scored into a Canucks empty net, delayed penalty.
I was there.
I remember someone on Twitter who did something similar. They like had just earlier had said, you know, let's do retweet this to, you know, have Louis score. And this is the thing, the way the Twitter gods work, if you don't specify, they're like, no problem, we'll make it work. And then you can't get mad because the Twitter goes like, well, you pay up. You cashed in, right?
Exactly.
I was actually talking about that goal yesterday with my roommate because I was trying to explain to him how you don't have own goals in hockey. Like, it's just whoever touched the puck last. So something like the Louis Erickson goal, which was only Louis' fault, and yeah, like he doesn't appear on the score sheet. They should.
But on that note, a little off the rails, there have been times that players have scored goals from the bench because they happen to be the last offensive player to have touched the puck before it found its way into an empty net or in the net.
Yeah, tell me how that makes sense.
There are many things in the NHL that don't make sense. For instance, the instigator penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Gajovic found his way into the game and, having dropped his glove second, got an instigator penalty.
Well, what I love is the interview he gave afterwards where he said, I didn't even see the hit. I just felt like I should jump in. And I'm like, oh, hockey man.
Oh, see, one of these days we'll have to get into that. So that cultural part of the game where that has to happen. And I actually, you know, and not having heard that interview, hearing it from you first, that's so synonymous with, I think, much of what we've said about the problem with the fights that occur.
It's just arbitrary. He said he heard like the noise, the reaction from his teammates made him want to fight. And I'm like, oh God.
Oh, next time I get into a scrap with my younger brother or something, if anyone gives me hate, I'm like, I just heard the noise and I saw Will there. So
I hope you're not getting into scraps with your younger brother anymore.
No, it's like we're like 25, 30 years withdrawn from that.
Good.
But and since then, both of us have subsequently blown out enough joints and bones and stuff like that, that at best it would be us, you know, accusing each other of nefarious things to try to fight, but that'd be it.
I mean, to get us back on the rails, like Alex Adler, you were too old to fight.
Yeah, but I've had a fight before I was too old to fight.
Right. I mean, Adler's too old and too pretty to fight, so just don't make him do it.
I'm not going to challenge him to a fight.
Okay, good.
Hey, does Alex score his 100th goal before the end of the season? He's got two more opportunities to do it.
No.
I'm praying on it. It's mainly because I know that him and Markstrom were besties. They're best friends.
Apparently not good enough.
Exactly. Apparently. We'll see. I don't know. But the odds aren't looking that great.
I was actually amazed that he did not have 100 goals. Like, I'll be honest, I don't really pay too close attention to some of the individual player statistics. But then when they started talking about this milestone, I want to say in the last few weeks, because what other positives were there really to talk about? Like, how can that be? This is a guy who is, you know, one of their top offensive defensemen when he sort of broke into the league. Had all this power play time. Like, I remember on this podcast specifically talking about how Edler can unleash bombs from the point. Though, I guess, one, he's gotten older, and the way the Vancouver Canucks operate their power play, far less Edler on it.
It's, yeah, I was going to say, he still is the most offensive defenseman. He would be the first Canucks defenseman to reach 100 goals. Just, yeah, most people don't stick around for as long as he did.
Forever and ever. And ever and ever and ever.
Okay, sorry. I don't know what that is.
Oh, I just, it's a portion of You'll Be Back.
I don't know what that is. Stop doing your old Hamilton? Man references.
No, it's a King, what's his name from Hamilton?
Oh, okay. I have not seen Hamilton. Landlords have not shared their Disney Plus password yet. So
it is so good, Anna. Okay. Have you seen Hamilton yet, Clarissa?
I was a high school theater kid. I was not a musical theater kid, unfortunately. Oh, see, there's two different breeds. See,
mm-hmm. See, I in high school I was like vocal jazz. So is the musical part, and one of the reasons why I didn't work out as a theater kid is I couldn't remember words unless they were lyrics, and they didn't do musicals in high school. So
see, I cannot sing or dance, but I was a theater kid, and our drama teacher used to be on the West End in musicals. So, like, we did musicals almost every year until when we were in senior year, our, like, drama class just rebelled and said, you cannot do a musical this year. But
you know how bad the Canucks have been that we've gotten on the topic of musicals right now? I know. I've taken us off the rails here.
We're like 20 minutes in and we're already talking about musicals.
Oh my goodness. So, okay. Speaking of musicals, it's musical chairs with Vancouver Canucks rotating players in and out of the lineup.
Nice.
Jack Rathbone found his way out. This is if there's one thing I have a problem with, and I understand that there are logistical reasons as to why the team can't run the kids in and what have you, because of call-ups and all of that jazz. But Jack Rathbone was a bright spot that we had an opportunity to see and grow. And his play helped sort of highlight maybe the deficit that is Ulielevi. And Clarissa, I'm curious, when you see someone like Ulielevi sort of through the lens that you have, how does he appear to you? Because I know there are some who are big Ulielevi stands. There are those who are like, Ulielevi should never have been in this league. But how about yourself?
It's so hard because I know the majority is going to say that he's not shaping up as what we expect him to be. personally, you'll learn this, but I end up loving every player. I'm just like one of those people that just don't care. I just find the good in them, and I think he tries his best. I love when he scores because he looks like the most fast bashful, like, player. He's, like, smiling and he's, like, shy. Like, he doesn't want to do it. Hilarious. I just think it's hilarious. But, again, when talking about the team and how he can contribute, and not to compare him to Dak, but it's not looking great. It's not looking great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, from a personality standpoint, like, the tenacity shown, like, to get through the injuries and all of that is impressive. And I don't want to say he should never play in this league. It's just when the games literally mean nothing, you're kind of looking for a bit of hope and excitement, and your levy's just not there yet. And I think he could be, but his skating and isn't quite there, and he gets turnstile quite a lot, which I literally said, I think, a couple months ago in the podcast. I was like, he's not getting turnstiled anymore. It doesn't happen. But it does still. So.
And then you watch Lucic do it to him on Sunday.
Yeah. Ugh.
I wish I could be as positive as you, Clarissa, because it would probably serve me a whole lot better. I don't think I'm too one side or the other. I'd like to think I'm pretty balanced, but I tend to trend negative just because I'm a half empty kind of guy. I do see a future with Yalevi. I just don't feel that those who suggest he's going to be that, you know, top pairing or second pairing defenseman are being honest with themselves. I feel that he has a future in the NHL as that Biega style of player. You know, as you'd sort of pointed out, good personality. He's not horrible in my mind. It's just he's being passed by players who I feel should be given an opportunity. Like Rathbone is showing at his age and his, yes, albeit very small sample size, should get the opportunity over him. And I understand logistics exist within how Travis can only dress certain players based on NHL rules that make absolutely no sense, but is what it is.
Yeah. And there's a fact, I think Thomas Drance, the Armies from last night was really good. And he was saying in the Armies, just like, it's really tough because like Travis is caught between like trying to show a good winning record at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Because he's still negotiating for he's not negotiating for a job. He's negotiating salary. Like that's, the Canucks want to give him a job. It's just how cheap can they get him? So those fine points matter. So Holtby isn't going to get his showcase for Seattle. We're not going to see like the more inexperienced players get in so much. And it's just a mess, hot mess.
I think some of that has to do, though, you're right, with what you sort of shared there, and what Drance is saying, but it's also the way the league is structured. I mean, even in a regular season, if let's say the Vancouver Canucks are out of the playoffs, they're out of the playoffs so late that there really isn't any design on rotating younger players' prospects in. Like, the NHL is not structured to have a team who's so far out of it other than Buffalo that they can, you know, take that opportunity to see what they have. And then on top of that, player movement restrictions also impede the ability. Like, we have to consider this season was actually somewhat extraordinary in that they had access to some players in that taxi squad more regularly than they would have had they, you know, been in Utica or next season in Abbotsford. But really the point is that, you know, even without Travis Green trying to find a job next year, whether it's with Vancouver or wherever, you know, showcasing his abilities to coach as opposed to showcasing the players who might make the team he's not coaching next season. So it is surreal. I mean, if there's one thing that we know, though, is that regardless of what's going on, all the players, well, they're practicing. And just like the greatest players do, they never quit practicing their skills to improve their game, and neither should you. The ICBA trains thousands of workers every year on everything from Excel spreadsheets to excavating trenches, from personal leadership skills to construction estimating, from fall protection to effective management skills, and 500 other courses. Online, on-demand, webinars, and even COVID-safe in-person, ICBA has an option for you and your busy lifestyle. Start climbing the corporate depth chart by sharpening your skills today. Check out icba.ca/courses.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He didn't play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Thinking we probably should have led off with half full, half empty, because it's going to be a far better segment than Rewind is. And that is because Clarissa is going to talk to us not only about, one, herself, but two, how her involvement with the Botchbird project all happened to go down. And frankly, that's the reason I'm tuning into our show this week, not to hear about what the Vancouver Canucks have been doing in Mean Nothing games during Mean Something part of the season. So again, Clarissa, I said this before, thank you for joining us. But I have a question for you. Your Twitter handle is Quinn Sedgework.
Yes.
Is that in reference to something or...
It's nothing in particular. It's literally just based on Quinn Hughes' very nice ability to skate that I admire a lot. Yeah, that's it.
Because
I mean, he's a good skater.
He is, but you're also a very good tweeter. I mean, to use it as a segue, like that's how I found you was others amplifying. Like you have this knack to have fun, and it's almost contagious. And I don't know if it's just that you approach this with such a positive light. I mean, please, if that's the case, that's awesome. It has me wonder, like, why couldn't you be like that? Why couldn't you be as positive as she is? Why couldn't you be as witty as she is? You set the bar in my mind to those who want to sort of fill that space. And I would appreciate if more of Canucks Twitter was like you. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, stop flattering me. This is the last time you can flatter me in this because I can't handle it. Thank you, first of all. Second of all, it's something to do with just me as a person. I like to have fun. I like to look at the things that people don't usually look at, which I might bring in mention later. But obviously, Jason Botchford was a lot like that. He brought out the best of the Canucks fans that we very desperately really need right now. So in that sense, not to sound like sadistic, right? But sometimes when this team is doing terrible and the timeline is just in ruins, for some reason I thrive in that. It's the sense of how I just want to kind of uplift this really negative energy that is often being circulated in this space, which I just didn't join for, to put it very subtly, literally. I joined because I saw some of the funniest tweets I've ever seen on my own normal personal account before I made this hockey account. I think I mentioned this on the broadcast, but I joined exactly a day after the Vegas Golden Knights beat us last year. What a time. I was in ruins. I literally cried that day for some reason. And we'll get into that, but I'm a very emotional person. I get very attached to things easily, and this team makes me feel things, as it does to a lot of people. And in that sense, I just felt like joining this community because I knew that there were other people who were kind of just like me, who just kind of want to have fun, support a team that is not doing their best, but has somewhat of a bright future regardless. And that's yeah, that's literally, I came here and then I ended up just tweeting whatever my head made up. And that's literally my secret. People often ask me, like, why, how do you come up with all this content consistently? Stuff like that. I literally just say what's on my mind. And sometimes on Connect Twitter, that can go very poorly. But in my case, thankfully, it's very widely, I guess, laughed at. That's really all I want. I just want to make people laugh. I want to make Connect Twitter more inclusive to people like me who didn't. I watched, like, when I was younger. I watched when it was 2011 and I was like 12 and I was heartbroken at 12. But in that sense, this is like backstory on me. I stopped watching after that. My family was like heartbroken. We kind of like fell off hockey. I was in high school at that point, so I kind of just like had a life. I'm doing parentheses in the video. I had a life, I guess, in high school, so I just stopped watching. But obviously with the pandemic, here I am. I'm back. I don't have life. I'm in university. So
yeah, fair.
I returned. I have like the basic understanding of hockey, but I am very new to this team that is relatively growing, essentially growing, I mean. And I just felt like it was like the perfect time. It was just the perfect time for me to join. And yeah, that's where I am now. Here I am.
I got rocked when you said that you were in high school for 2011. Because I could say I was in high school for a Canucks Stanley Cup run too, but that was 94.
I mean,
Twitter wasn't around.
I was mid university for the 2011 one. But yeah, I do wonder, what were your perceptions of Canucks Twitter sort of before you got involved? Did you know much about it from like your personal timeline or your friends, whatever, or did you kind of come with like no expectations?
It was a mix of Mr. Booth. It was obviously a mix of Mr. Booth, and it was just like the viral tweets that would pop up. I didn't really like, I obviously followed the Canucks. I followed maybe like the players. I didn't know who to follow in the fan base yet. So those viral tweets from those viral individuals like Mr. Booth, I know that the tweet that kind of made me join was actually from Vanessa Dang from Broadcast. She tweeted the day after we lost to the Knights. It was like a line of the Canucks walk that they were saying thank you, like they were saying like good game to Demko or something, but she captioned it with just a bunch of sorries, like sorry, 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 sorry. Like that was what they're telling him. And that was where I was like, I need to join. Like I just need to join. That's hilarious. Yeah. And I need to see more of that. And I didn't want to annoy like my sister, like my friends in real life. So I was like, I'll just make an account. And yeah, but so essentially, sorry to answer your question, I didn't really know about the Canucks Twitter universe. Aside from like the very funny viral tweets that got me to come here. And that's kind of why I am focused on making those literally like funny tweets to hopefully show up on some Canucks fans timeline to bring them in. And yeah, it's worked apparently, so I'm happy about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, like speaking of viral moments, like your like challenge to Elias Pettersson, just like were you expecting, like how did that come about? Did you just like get sideline out of nowhere that came
it was,
about?
It was out of nowhere. I know a lot of people have like still asked me whether or not like he reached out to me after, and he's never spoken to me. He's never talked to me, no DMs, no nothing. The tweet was literally, I tagged him and I said, can you remake this please? And it was a video of just the stupidest dribbling video ever. It was literally a joke. Did not expect him to reply. As no one, it's kind of like tagging Francesco, sorry, or any, Like when people tag him in posts and they don't think that he sees it. Oh, he definitely sees it. He's just not replying.
Yeah, I mean, that was a wild moment. But again, it was just like a little moment of joy in what can be a pretty dark place. So,
yeah,
I think that's the right approach.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned this earlier, but I know a few people who I regularly talk to now, who I can name, like, call friends online, who told me that video got them to join Canucks Twitter. And again, like I mentioned this earlier, that's something that I take very seriously and I take pride in, because I didn't think that I had that power, but apparently some stupid video can do that, and that's all that matters to me. Like, that's why I'm here. And
I said as much. Like, I genuinely feel what you're doing is great, because you're bringing in my mind a better version of Canucks Twitter members than those who've been around. Like, I've been around Canucks Twitter for probably the longest-ish time. Like, I'm not going to define myself as an OG, because as Canucks Twitter does, every so someone's like, oh, they're a real OG. Like, Wyatt, he's a real OG. Wyatt is the stanchion. Why? Because the Canucks needed to get an assist from one when he joined Twitter. I had actually been on Twitter longer than him, but I'm not keeping score.
Oh, really?
I just feel that there are, like, you think about Canucks Twitter as it exists today. There are far too many passionate individuals trying to display their passion more passionately than another set of very passionate individuals. And I feel that these groups take things far too seriously. I love the aloof nature, like the Alex Edler pass the Edler puck tweet, which is this like, I've seen these before. I'm old. Is this like a mood board? Like, what is this?
I believe
is that a shrine?
It was actually, I don't even watch, but it was a Simpsons. It's a Simpsons meme where people usually put like pictures of their favorite person. They kind of it's covered up. I forgot. Wait, what's his baby's name again?
It's from, yeah. It's like Homer Simpson. It's like, yeah, when he has to go back to work at the power plant when Marge is pregnant with Maggie, even though he wants to quit, and I can't remember what. Play with his band? I can't even remember what he wants to do, but like he decides to go back to work and he like covers up pictures because I think it says like, remember you're here forever or something.
Yeah.
And he covers it up so it says, do it for her.
Yeah. So it's kind become of like a meme. It's just so heartwarming, but also like, please do it for him.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Edler deserves it.
You know, taking this sort of a step further, how does Clarissa go from a viral Canucks Twitter user to a member of this year's class of the Botchford Project? And I know in between you also have been managing the Canucks Army socials and you've written some articles there. But, like, you know, can you walk us through that process? Like, was it just, is this your first time applying for the Botchford Project? Did you do it last year? Like, how'd you throw your hat in the ring?
Yeah, absolutely. This was my first time applying. I'm so new. I haven't even been here for a year yet. There's things that I definitely don't know yet that I should. And in that sense, for the Botchford Project, I didn't know about it until maybe like 4 months ago when I actually like started to learn about things. Yeah, with the Botchford Project, I felt not only obligated, but I obviously felt inclined to do it because of the things that I've been learning about this whole space. Again, it's a lot of like a personal thing of how I want, I want to start writing. Oh, I didn't really get into this, but I am currently in communications. I'm in SFU right now. I'm graduating hopefully this year. But 4 years ago, I did not want to be in communications. I wanted to be in journalism. And unfortunately, I didn't follow my heart. I followed my head, followed my mom as well, because she told me I should probably play safe. which is fine because communications is a very good program. However, obviously, as you can tell, I really always wanted to write. And I feel that I'm okay at it. So I obviously asked Quadrelli, so David Quadrelli and Chris Faber, to join Canucks Army. I've been practicing, not that much. I wish I had more time to do it, but writing has always been something that I've been interested in. It's the fact that I don't know what to write about. I am very passionate about multiple things, but I didn't have a certain topic to latch on to. And so when I started watching hockey, I was like, oh, maybe this is the thing that I had to pick. And here I am, because apparently I enjoy sports media and it's actually something that I genuinely want to pursue. And yeah, so in that sense, when the Botcher Project applications came out, I was like, okay, this is perfect. I'm in a very good spot. I have learned so much from the writers that are currently just taking over my Twitter. They're amazing. And I also just, after reading Jason Botchford's previous articles, I obviously had to do a lot of catching up, which I am, again, I don't mention this. I was very emotional writing my application because it took a lot of catching up. And it's unfortunate that I had to catch up in that sense, because I know a lot of people obviously have read his articles, knew him, met him, interacted with him, and so on. And as I told you guys, I joined last year. I was like essentially 2 years, 1 year late. And it's sad because I told you guys again, perfect timing for me to join, right? But is it? Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know if it was, because I wish I was here sooner. But yeah, it was a very strenuous application process. I cried multiple times. I applied like 2 hours before the deadline because I wanted it to be perfect. It was a mess, but I got it in. And obviously, very grateful to Kat Botchford. She selected me and Arash and Lachlan. I was obviously very grateful. And yeah, it was a mess, but here I am.
I think that's personally so cool. Obviously, it's sad that you weren't around when Botch was around, but at the same time, the fact that you came to like Canucks Twitter, Canucks Media, like after his passing, and was still like inspired by him and like connect with him and the way he wrote, I think that's kind of cool that his legacy is continuing, not just in a literal sense for the project, but like his style of writing. So I think that's cool.
You know, and Anna, you raise a very great point. Like, I think the epitome of the Botchford Project is to inspire, right? Like Jason, for those that know him, and I don't know if you've noticed this with Canucks Twitter, everyone knew Jason who was around, whether or not they ever met him or talked to him, everyone knew him. But he always had time for anyone who asked it of him. Like we talked about this a little bit last week with Lachlan, how one of our greatest episodes, statistically, maybe not as much because of our listener base has grown over the years, but one of our best episodes was the Botchisode, where Jason Botchford joined us. He's like, yeah, no problem. Let's make this happen. We struggled to make it happen because the Canucks kept doing silly things like winning games, going on streaks, making trades. Like, so timing was problematic. But when he did join us, promises to go and get a tattoo of Lucas Spezza on his butt if the Vancouver Canucks were to lose to the Edmonton Oilers. And by golly, did the Canucks try. And Jason, though, like, it was his unique ability to go and connect with this market that just, like, I actually feel, and I'm going to sort of use sort of how I see your presence on Canucks Twitter. That was what Jason was all about. Let's have some fun. Let's go for a ride. Yeah, he went in all sorts of different directions, but it inspired so many people. And I look at sort of what you use Canucks Twitter for, and you're doing the same thing. You might not have never met him or known him, but the fact that you were so inspired to throw your hat in the ring with the Botchford Project, you researched, you looked into what he was writing. You already had what Botch brought. So, you know, I'm so excited that you had this opportunity to get involved. Talking about the day itself, though, should we go have words with J-Pat about that picture he tweeted? Like, has that been squared away yet?
Yeah, I actually fought him in the lounge, so it's okay.
Awesome.
Oh, good. See, like, we talked about pointless fighting, but that fight had a point.
For people who don't know, Jeff Patterson, he took a photo of the recipients, so me, Lachlan, and Arash, and this was after the morning skate, so we went out after that, we had some lunch, and then we came back after, and I saw the post that he posted, and he essentially posted a photo of me blinking while the other two dudes were completely fine. And I quote retweeted him, and I was like, come on. Come on, man. Obviously, in a joking manner. I honestly do not mind, do not care. And honestly, it's kind of fitting and hilarious. But he made it up for me. He apologized, and he obviously reposted a better photo. I can't explain why he did that, but he has a very valid reason and is completely fine. But yeah, the rest of the day we were kind of like, oh, J-Pat is like the most dad ever. Like, just the most dad, daddest dad. Because that was hilarious.
So what was your experience of the day like? So you did the morning skate, and then was it... You did the interviews in the afternoon then, or like how did it work with the interview setup?
Yeah, I don't want to repeat what Lachlan said, but we did have the morning skate and we did the interviews after the morning skate essentially. And then after that, we took a break. And I had my interview with Mr. Zach McEwen, very awesome. Lovely PEI accent, love him. And he didn't have his mask on, obviously, so he had a very nice mustache. I love him so much, and he answered my questions. I won't spoil my topic, however, you'll see it, and you'll be like, yeah. And it was a very good interview. Left this part out, but again, another example of why J-Pat is a dad. I did my interview. Lachlan mentioned this. We were in the very nice bougie suite, we essentially had the seating that was along the arena, while there was inner seating next to like a fireplace where most of them did their interviews. Now, when we started interviews, I was the last out of the three to do my own interview, and I was very anxious because this was essentially like my first kind of like actual real interview, and it was with Mr. Zach McEwen, so it was just really big for me. Started to get really anxious. And when someone was doing an interview, I assume the media dude kind of just like stuck to themselves and like wrote, but I know me, Arash, and Lachlan would always look at whoever was talking during the interview because that's just what we were doing. We were just kind of like admiring them working in their workspace. So when my time came, I was like, I don't want anyone to look at me. And so I moved a little bit between the seating, and so I was way too close to the rink essentially. And I asked my first question and he didn't hear me. So Dave had to usher me in so that I could repeat my question because the ice was just way too loud. But yeah, it went really well. It's fine. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, just had to be a little bit awkward for you, obviously, but I'm sure
Zach
was nice about it. Yeah. Well, we're really looking forward to the article. I know Lachlan's came out today. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but.
It's about Mr. Neil Hoaglander, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
When does your article go live? Do you know yet, or?
I don't know yet. I unfortunately do not know yet. I don't have a timeline yet, but they did say for both mine and Arash's, obviously we have two games left, but it'll be after the season ends, so after Wednesday. Okay. Yeah.
Have you gotten that reply from at Canucks yet?
They didn't reply to me. I swear they muted me.
We know they're going to tag you when they tweet out the article. So I was going to say, I mean, it's bound to happen.
They'll unmute me and then they'll tweet it and then they'll mute me.
Yeah, I genuinely couldn't tell, like, with Derek, like, Derek Jory has been around the block, but, like, people are obviously trolling him with their replies and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know how much he is, like, knowingly understood all the trolling or not, but...
Is Derek behind at Canucks these days? Because I know he was working on contract.
Yeah, he is. He won't be there for the next two games, so that will be someone else.
Okay. But they used to follow me back when I was more in tune with what was going on, but now I'm out of touch. The only person from the organization that follows me is Francesco.
that's a big follow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the
head. And if I could explain why.
I mean, the only person from the organization that follows me is Ryan Beach. He doesn't count. I've like known him for years. Actually,
I don't think Beecher follows me anymore, the jerk.
I mean, he might have me muted. I'm not like he's never on Twitter, is he? So, yeah.
Well, I for one, am looking forward to reading your article on Big Zach. I really am. And just on the Zach note, Anna, we should see if Zach's mom will join us for a show. She's a very passionate hockey fan.
I mean, Zach's mom or Zach's puppy.
Oh, please.
I don't know how one can have a podcast with a puppy, but
but we I'm should open figure it out idea. Because the puppy
you can be
is
the first
adorable.
One.
Yeah.
That'll be a show. We're going to take ourselves a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network.
He liked to say the F word.
Oh, then get the f*** here then. Okay, see ya.
Right off. He's going to have the F word on it.
I wish I could give you a explanation about it. I can't.
You f*** out of here.
Say the F word, Dad.
You called me the F word.
Anna, the F word? You're going to be going, what the F, Chris? You're talking about something that wasn't even on the rundown, but it occurred to me before we click record. What the F is going on with the Vancouver Canucks front office right now?
Yeah, I mean, great question. Does anyone know, like... Because apparently the Aquilinis have realized what a mess it is. I'm not sure why it's taken them several years to realize. But I'm not sure if they know how to fix it. Or
it's a weird situation. If I'm looking at it from above and trying to figure out what's going on, it's confusing. You have a coach who is without a deal. And in the NHL, coaches generally... don't go in to an off season without a deal. If they're coming back, they've already been re-upped. And if they're not, you know, they mutually part ways or whatever it might be. You've got a goaltending coach in Ian Clark, who every one of their goaltenders says, oh my God, this guy is amazing. He works pure magic with my game. You look at Jacob Markstrom in Calgary and well, Jacob can't say it. I'm sure he'd be like, hey Ian, yo, Stampede. It's off the hook. You should come and check it out. My treat. I don't know if there'll be a stampede this year, but, you know, when you sign that contract, I'm sure there will be one.
Can I just ask that you never say off the hook ever again?
Is it lit?
Oh, no. Make him stop.
I'm an old man. What is up, fellow kids?
Yeah, that's it. But, yeah, I mean, they kind of want their cake and eat it too, right? Like, they know it's a mess. They know it's a PR disaster. You know, they probably should have a president of hockey ops in there as well. And yet they don't want to pay for any of it.
Well, I don't necessarily knock ownership looking to be conservative with how they're spending money. That part I completely understand. It's just a situation that they've almost created on their own. The Vancouver Canucks, as far as an organization go, have a very leaky ship right now. Very, you know, well-established members of traditional media, some relatively well-established members of new media, are all saying very similar things. How there is a review that's taking place with Jeff Courtnell somehow involved. I'm genuinely curious if it's just a thing about getting all the 94 Canucks in, and if so, I demand Nathan Lafayette to get a turn at this. he can redeem himself for hitting that darn post against the Rangers. You have a GM who's arguably been told he can't make decisions. You've got a head coach saying, or not really saying he's wanting, you know, they haven't come out, but through people that wants a deal and the GM wants him back. You have, gosh, what's his name's agent? I forgot. Todd Diamond, saying that, oh
yeah,
Jim wanted this guy back, but it is just weird.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of the Vancouver Canucks for a long time. I remember the John McCaw era. For those of you who don't recall the John McCaw era, so John McCaw was the Orca Bay Sports Entertainment when he bought essentially ownership from the Griffith family. And his right-hand man, he fired Pat Quinn and then quickly reviewed all the work that Pat Quinn did as president of the Vancouver Canucks and general manager, and realized that he wasn't up to task and had no plan B. So they actually approached Pat Quinn and said, "Hey, Pat, we know you fired you, but could you just come back on like a contract?" That was some tough times. That was very kind of surreal. But I kind of feel now is a little crazier. So.
Yeah, I mean, I was not around during any of that timeline. I was around for a bit of Gillis, but like, I'm curious, Clarissa, as to your like perspective, because you're very like new to Canucks, not Canucks fandom, but like Canucks sort of online space. So yeah. Like, your perception of Jim Benning in general, I guess you don't have a comparison, but
yeah, I was pretty much gone for like the whole part of him getting hired. Just that entire section is just missing. And that's probably why I'm so positive, right? I don't know anything about it. I was kind of here for Tortorella's like coaching, but like I wasn't really watching regularly. Wasn't really here for Desjardins. Like apparently
he's a real good coach.
He was
real good, really good.
But really good. I missed a lot of it, and that's probably my perspective. It's just a whole chunk missing, and that's probably why I don't know much. But again, I'm learning a lot from people like Chris. I'm learning a lot from people that know a lot about this team, and it's coming to me. It's coming to me, and eventually I'll crack just like everyone else, but right now I'm not. Yeah.
Hope not. No, that's good. But like, honestly, you saying that just made me think if you were like on Canucks Twitter, like making content during the Torts era, it would have been so great. I just trying to imagine what you would put out about him. It would have been fantastic, I think.
The Torts era, you mean one season?
Yeah.
That's an crazy era. Season.
An era is a significant period of time.
And okay, and we're currently going through the Jim Benning epoch then, or?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to ascertain
it's kind
the length like, of time we're associating to.
The era before the asteroid in the sort of dinosaur sense.
Okay, so there's before JB, there's that sort of period of time, the Torts era. So that was actually the sort of the year the asteroid sort of appeared in the sky.
Yeah.
And then eventually came in. Oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, it's heading for us.
So is there another asteroid in the sky? If I look up, is there a, you know, a giant asteroid in the shape of like Canucks Twitter? I don't know what Canucks Twitter would look like. Because that's the thing about this year is that, I mean, Elliot Friedman was talking about it today on, I don't know if it was Donnie and Dolly, but like one of the shows he was on, and how he was asked this question: is ownership possibly making this change because of business needs, or is it more the fan experience? And his answer was, "Oh, I think it's the fans," which speaks volumes about how powerful Canucks fans are. It speaks volumes as to how powerful Canucks fans are in the not so good sense too. But I think at this point in time, they're almost in a position where they have to change, because if they don't, there is a large number of people who just could tune out. I'm not, fortunately for them, Clarissa's bringing more people in, but there's no, I mean, you're a hero, but you need an entire army.
Yeah. I mean, you're dead right. Like, apathy is like the worst thing that can happen to a hockey team. Like, if we're hate watching, as long as we're watching, it doesn't really matter. But if people stop caring, then.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I actually look at Canucks Twitter as a really good barometer. Whether you're on like I'm going to use all these, you know, crazy terms, bitter bro, Benning bro, positive bro, the GLPC, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're a member of Canucks Twitter because you yourself say you are a fan, because that's the only reason that you are, is because you want to be. If you're talking about the team, that's good for the team. Because you're talking.
Yeah. But
it's the moment we stop talking.
I mean, you're talking about like some even mainstream media types getting negative, like IMAC.
Helford and Brough?
Well, IMAC said that Amnesty International should step in and save the Canucks. And like,
oh, I didn't see that.
IMAC is like, I mean, he gets accused of being house media sometimes.
I was going to say he's the print equivalent to house radio.
So, yeah, that's how you know it's bad.
I wonder what it would have been like during the Keenan era if Canucks had Twitter. I mean, back then, because again, that was sort of my just out of high school years. Me and my friends in circle, we sort of talked about the team, but like we couldn't even text each other back then.
Oh God, you're so old.
I had a pager.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyhow, the other part that you did put in the F word is the Department of Player Safety strikes again. I noticed that Sam Bennett got himself a one-game suspension. And while I did not see it, because much like a friend of the show, Nexus, who has said in C4 Discord, when the Canucks don't make the playoffs, the hockey is dead to him. It's kind of like that for me, too. I'm a Vancouver Canucks fan through and through. I understand that Sam did something that, was it McDonough had done and got no punishment for? Like, I'm going to gather that the hit was either not suspension worthy or not consistent.
I mean, the problem is consistency, right? Like, it was a bad hit, but of course, you're never going to get more than one game in the playoffs. The fact that you got a game is just...
Well, one game in the round one is worth two, according to the Wheel of Justice.
See, playoff math. But yeah, I mean, you'll look at like the teams that win the cup, there's just always a certain edge to them, and it's always going to be that way. When
was the hit Aaron Rome bad?
Nothing's that bad. Yeah.
That should be the standard. Is it Aaron Rome bad?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, the Department of Player Safety is just crazy. Like, there's just no consistency whatsoever. And I guess the only consistent thing is that players are in danger, which is... Not a good look.
Hey, if I understand correctly, right when you told me that this, that the players need to protect themselves, they need to be smart on the ice, and that if you don't protect yourself, then don't expect someone else to protect you instead. Like,
yeah, certainly not the Department of Player Safety. Certainly not the NHLPA. Protect yourself.
So, Clarissa, being sort of more involved, when something like the Department of Player Safety comes out and hands out or meets a punishment that doesn't necessarily line up with what I think are sort of evolving cultural norms, would be like, how do you sort of interpret that? Like, is that something you pay attention to, or is it, cause like for me, I grew up in an era of hockey where players didn't actually wear helmets, probably had cigarettes in the dressing room. And there was this thing called the code that everyone knew, but no one didn't really know and understand. That is not like the code today, apparently, because there was discipline. But so for me, I see this, and there's always that short circuit. Like, I grew up in this game; it was okay back then. It should be okay today.
Yeah, I watched around like 2009, 2010, 2011, and the Canucks team were mean back then, right? And in that sense, I kind of, there are times like, sorry, team. No, I'm sorry. But when I was getting back into hockey, so when quarantine was starting last year, and I decided to latch onto hockey for some reason, we obviously didn't have hockey at that point. I was watching compilations on YouTube, and most of them were fight compilations, which is not amazing, but for some reason I kept watching them. And again, not condoning violence, but that was something in the game that I never understood when I was younger, still don't understand today. And it's just part of the game for some reason. And again, yeah, I obviously I haven't ever played hockey. I probably played it twice in gym, so not on ice. So obviously I am a woman, so there just isn't that kind of thing that really happens often. So that's really my stance. It's just utter confusion. I don't usually know what's going on. It happens and it lasts like maybe 10 seconds, and then they're sitting in the penalty box yelling at each other, and that's what I see.
I think that's a great summary of the baffling nature of, like, brutal masculinity in hockey.
For me, like, I grew up on that in the game. I loved it. And I still have this conflict where I love this emotional style of play. I don't like fights. I tolerate the ones that sort of occur because, you know, two dudes got so pissed off with each other that they acted like 13-year-olds, because, and I think it's not the act of the fight. It's that it almost, I get that way sometimes. Oh man, I just wish I could, like, we were talking about my brother. Yeah. My brother and I used to get into all sorts of disagreements over stupid stuff. And it's like that human connection that I somehow have, but then I realize I'm a much more mature person these days. And why does that even matter? But
yeah, I mean, the thing is, in like normal society, those instincts, or like, you know, your basic instincts are discouraged, you know. Don't, like, yeah, you know, don't let your temper get the better of you. Don't let it get physical. Whereas if you grow up playing hockey, if you're a certain type of player, they will just be like, encourage you and basically make you into a weapon.
Well, and you are permitted to perform acts of violence that are sanctioned, that if they were to happen outside of the walls of the arena, would easily find you in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I mean, yeah.
And that's, you know, like we've talked about sort of, you know, sort of sports culture and briefly, and it's a topic we'll probably get into in the off season. But like, I grew up playing soccer. There was a whole lot of animosity in soccer. And yeah, I have actually borne witness to fights, but in soccer, you throw a punch, it's probably the one way to get yourself a season ban. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like, I actually look at junior hockey, you fight, you're out of the game, and you're probably going to miss another one. Even though it's understood it might happen, you know the consequences going into it. In NHL, it's like you get a bunch of attaboys, and so long as your knuckles aren't broken, you'll probably get on the ice.
And yeah, if they are, just take a few Tramadol and you'll be good to go. Yeah,
that's right. Anyway. Oh. And I, again, probably not good for the live show, but you wrote AOB ? And I meant to ask you what that meant in the rundown.
Any other business?
Oh, interesting.
Well, I'm glad we're learning. Clearly you don't write enough meeting agendas.
No, I don't. This is how awesome we are as a podcast, Clarissa.
Just so in tune.
We're the longest running, but we're by far not the most professional.
Most dysfunctional would be closer.
No, I love it.
And Canucks Conversation is probably one of and they run a tight ship there. And there's a lot of good podcasts, but not us. We're just the longest running, best mediocre.
I love podcasts when they're just off the wall. I love it. It's my favorite type. So.
Okay, good. Because definitely been today more so than usual, but I'm glad you like the vibe.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back for one of our patron shows off the rails, because that is like whatever the heck we want to talk about.
It's basically like we were talking anything about hockey.
Yeah, like last episode of OTR, we were talking about scars.
Yeah.
Scars we have and scar from Lion King, because all scars.
Yeah.
Except for the weapon scars. Didn't talk about those. Which some people get, some people don't. But
yeah,
we
don't know what that is. Just another old man reference.
No, this is like the so all the gamers who play like Call of Duty, they'll know what
it is. Yeah, to be fair, like Call of Duty has just taken over in a way I don't think any other game has. Maybe it's the pandemic, but like
I think it's the pandemic.
Tons of cricketers play it. Tons of people like in and around hockey play it. So as soon as I don't understand a reference and it's not from an old person like yourself, I assume that it's from Call of Duty.
Yeah. Canucks Twitter plays it for charity.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, I love charity. I just hate gaming.
So I think it's probably a good time to look to wrap up the episode, because we don't have any more AOB.
No other business.
I don't know if they said no other business, but Clarissa, again, thanks again for joining us. But you know, if our listeners want to find you and follow your work, where might they discover you?
It is just Twitter. I'm mainly there. I don't like any other social media platforms. I just ended up just putting it all into Twitter. It's at Quinn's Edgework, because he is a good skater. And yeah.
Cool. And as we'd already
sometimes.
Oh, I guess. Oh, yeah, technically I'm there too.
So actually, do you do Canucks Army Social all the time? Or is it some of the time?
The story. Captains are like automated, but for any of the game tweets and such, that's me pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was kind of like, when I manned the Canucks hockey account, it was games. It was often, it was me. If it was automated blog posts, it was the system. And if it was someone with wild opinions, it was JJ. This is the thing with Canucks hockey. At Canucks hockey is JJ Guerrero's personal Twitter account. It's also the blog account and an account that we use here at the podcast. Yeah. So it gets really confusing.
So if there's Canucks any Army did weird it right hot takes, along. That's JJ. That's not Austin.
It's we more Austin than not JJ.
Disown him.
I'm like the opposite. Sorry, I'm like the opposite. I have to tweet my crazy takes on my own account and hold off.
Well, he is. It's just, it's like if Canucks Army was like, I don't even know who started Canucks Army. I should know this because, I mean, it was around the same time I joined CHB, but let's say like it was Canucks Army was Thomas Drance, and that was his personal account, not Artem Chubarov.
But I mean, I kind of don't really care and just tweet from C4 with my crazy opinions, but that's all right.
Awesome. But for those of you who've reached this point of the show, obviously you want to find Clarissa's work, her Twitter account, at Quitch Send Work. Her article will be going up on Canucks.com probably in the near future. So look for it there. As we know, it's about Big Zach. You heard that here first or second, fourth. I don't know.
It's a little bit about him. I'll leave it at that. It's not about him, but we'll see.
God, I'm so intrigued.
But I think we've had a lot of fun. We'll have to get you back. I mean, as we already talked about this, you're now a friend of the show, and that's a very distinct badge of honor. We do expect that you now put that in your Twitter bio.
I'll probably tweet about it.
Friend of the show, C4 Podcast.
We'll take it.
But if you as a listener are wanting to tune into OTR, if you wanted to learn about Scar the Lion King or Scar, the thing that Chris has on his arm, you'll want to join us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/C4podcast. And one of the other value adds that all of our patrons get, regardless of what level of support they provide, is the ability to tune into Instead of the Anthems, our podcast pre-show that we record each week prior to the show. This week, you would have learned some crazy stuff, like how Chris got a COVID test this weekend because he couldn't smell manure. among other things, a baby force drop in, and she said hello.
Yeah, so this is the magic you only get on IOTA.
Mm. We're all about acronyms here, if you didn't know that, Clarissa. We have OTR, IOTA, CHB, C4.
Exactly.
Efficient.
There we go.
Yeah. But any final words of wisdom you want to share with our listeners there, Carlos?
I don't. Just have fun. We have two more games left. Just chill out. Have a good time. Joke around. It's like stuff will happen soon, I know, but like last two games, we can calm down for a little bit and just have a little fun.
Awesome. Anna, how about you?
Yeah, I think that was nicely put. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't. So just tune in, have fun. Like, you do still have to watch. Just pay your penance. Watch the last two games. And, like, Clarissa will make it fun for you.
Final words of wisdom from me. I'm going to go off on a different tangent. Get vaccinated. Anna has. I'm getting mine this week.
I'm getting mine on Wednesday. Yeah. Me too.
Awesome.
So if you happen to be a resident of BC, I believe anyone who's 18 and older can now register to get vaccinated. And if you happen to live outside of the province of BC, obviously, if the opportunity exists, get yourself that upgrade. It'll do the world a whole lot of awesome and help us get back into the stadium so we too can express our feelings live to the team as opposed to Canucks Twitter or hockey Twitter, wherever we happen to be, which some players may or may not pay attention to, unless you're Elias Pettersson, who obviously is best buds with Clarissa now. So if you need to contact PD, Clarissa is your lady. So on behalf of myself, Chris at Lightforce, Anna Forsyth at A4SA03, Clarissa, who you can find at Quinn Sedgwick on Twitter, we're going to sign off this episode of C4 with those words of, we out.